Stand, please, and let's look in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 13. He said, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him," and notice the next three words, "and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body." And notice the body tells us here with a comma, he says, the church. That's what the body is. "Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." You can be seated. That's down through verse 19. And let's pray together. Father, give us wisdom and understanding. Thank you, Lord, that we are able to be at the house of God on this Lord's day when many are not, and Lord, many are troubled. And Lord, when our country is up in the air and they're fearful, they don't know what's going to happen. They don't know how long it's going to happen. And they're troubled on every hand. And it's changed their way of life. And Lord, we're satisfied this morning that our life needs to be changed. And our habits need to be changed. And our attitudes need to be changed. And you know how to do every bit of it. So we commit it all to you this morning. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. And I pray, God, you'd bring us under subjection. And Lord, bring us to you that we might feel your loving arms around us. Lord, we might feel that loving touch of God. And Lord, may the word of God comfort us and strengthen us and encourage us and challenge us. And at the same time, may the Comforter, the Holy Ghost of God, put his arms around us and lead us in a direction, God, we need to travel. Father, that we might feel the touch and the tug of God before us, behind us, above us, to the side, and all through us. God, for your glory and honor, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now let's look, praise God, I want to look at these verses, and we'll do a verse by verse. I don't know how far we'll go. We'll go till we get through, but I want to look at these verses. Verse 13. Now, Paul is setting this straight, and let me just say something here. There's two books in the Bible, matter of fact, all of them magnify him. Genesis to Revelation, all 66 books of the Bible will recognize and exalt the Lord. You'll find God on every single page of your Bible. But the book of John, the first chapter in particular, and the first chapter of Colossians exalts and lifts the Lord Jesus more than any of the others to a specific degree. And I thank God for that. Every time I want to think about Christ, I look in the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That thrills me and strengthens me. Then when I begin to look at his authority, and after his resurrection, now one's before the resurrection because he hasn't died yet, and the other is after the resurrection, and I see how God has exalted him to the highest place in the world. And I begin to look at Colossians, it thrills me and stirs my soul that God, amen, has lifted him to the place. Now, if I could just lift him in my heart, as Colossians does and John does, boy, wouldn't my life be a change? Wouldn't your life be a change? If you could lift the Lord like John lifts him, and if you could lift the Lord like Paul lifts him here, brother, I'll tell you right now, wouldn't be much that bother you. Wouldn't have no trouble. See, everybody's looking for problems to be solved. They're looking for answers. They're critical because of this and because of that. And God's in charge of every single bit of it. I hear these politicians say, we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this. And my thought is this morning, God is going to bring us through this. Amen. It's like we got, the mind. We're pretty smart. We're pretty smart. But we ain't smart enough to change much. Amen. We cause more problems than we'll get help for. But God can flip his hand and all this will be gone. I woke up one morning. I never heard of this virus we've got in the country. Had you ever heard of it? Amen. We've been for ages, never heard of it. But all of a sudden, that's all you hear. You can't even turn on the news today, but that is all that's on their mind. Been there for about as long as anything I've seen, and they're just going nutty over it. Amen. I went to bed last night, and they had 1,800 and something died, and this morning 2,100. I thought, boy, 2 and 3, and they're putting them in the storage containers of tractor and trailers to preserve them and take care until they can bury them. Brother, I just see people going all crazy. But I want to say to you this morning, let's look and see what we've got to look for. Amen. I don't have a virus to look at. I've got a Savior. Look what I see in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Now, who is he talking about? Not talking about the government. Not talking about men. Not talking about the church. Not talking about religion. Who hath? Hath means past tense, and it can be present. Who hath delivered us from the power of dirt? Who hath? God, through his Son, hath delivered. I like that word, delivered. They're saying on the news today, we're hiring people to deliver. Going to deliver groceries and everything else, which is going to change the way the world's going to go for a while. But as I look at this, they can deliver things. But the Lord is the only one that can deliver us. Now, where did he deliver us from? From the power of darkness. The power of, in other words, we were in total darkness. In darkness, you can't see your way. In darkness, you can't, all you can do is feel. You can't see where you're going. In darkness, you stumble. That's what we were doing. We were walking, stumbling in the dark. We didn't know how to walk. Couldn't walk right. But we've been delivered from the darkness. But now let me give you a word there you missed. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. We get up in the morning, we wouldn't thinking right. We went to bed, we wasn't thinking right because we was under the power of that darkness. When you're under darkness and you can't find the light switch and you can't find a way of getting light, you stumble and falter and fall. When your mind is dark and you can't think, brother, God said here, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? I've been delivered from that. I'm not in darkness anymore. I'm alive. God turned the light on in my heart. Amen. A lot of things I still stumble about. But God turned the light on in my heart. Now let's see what else he said. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He's delivered us from darkness. Well, if he delivered us from darkness, means he put us in light. And there comes that other word, translated. Translate means to change and put you somewhere else. The Lord was translated before the disciples and he brought some other people there, Moses and Elijah. There they were in the 17th chapter of Matthew. But see, we find that God has translated us. He translated us from darkness, from the powers of darkness, and he's translated us to the kingdom of God. That meant we were under the kingdom of darkness and we were under the kingdom of Satan. That means the devil had to take his hands off of us. That means God rescued us. That means he picked us up out of the pits of hell. That means he's redeemed us. That means he's saved us. Hallelujah. That excites me. I mean, all over. Praise God. I've been delivered from the power, not just from darkness, but I've been delivered from the power. Power is something that's got control. Power is something, amen. Now you've got them big cars and you put the foot in the accelerator and you start, you said it's got power. And some of you like that power. And the devil likes that power. And people like power. But I love the power of God and the power of light instead of the power of darkness. And then he's translated us. Hallelujah. What's it translated? Again, I say, he's removed us out of the kingdom of darkness and out of the kingdom of evil and out of the kingdom of Satan and placed us into the kingdom of God. And we are alive forevermore. I praise God. You see, he's talking about Jesus. Amen. Religion didn't do that. Religion didn't save me. The Baptists didn't save me. They couldn't save me. But Jesus reached down and picked me up and translated me out of darkness, the power of darkness, into the kingdom of his dear son. Now God's speaking here. God's saying he's put us into the power of his son. Put us into the presence of his son. And God said he's put us into the kingdom of his son. Amen. I'm not my own anymore. I've been bought with a price. And I'm headed somewhere. Now look at verse number 14. Verse 13 tells us he who hath done it. But in verse 14 he gives us something else. In whom? Now we're still talking about the same person. We're talking about Jesus. Hey! I've noticed in the last few days people have been talking about, and they're kind of getting a little more religious. The first week I didn't see much religion about anybody. But now, and guess what? Every time, I mean, I've seen more about the Pope in the last week and a half than I've seen in ages. When they talk about getting right with God and things right, it's always the Pope. Well, there's no hope in the Pope. He can't help you none. Amen. Matter of fact, I seen him going doing these little things this morning. And there's a leading him. And they're going, and he's going up some steps. And I noticed a little fella come down there all dressed up in a suit and got a hold of the Pope's arm and helped him get up the steps. And I thought, boy, I wouldn't want to put my trust in somebody so feeble. Yeah. Now, I'm not knocking the Pope. I'm not. We all get old. I need somebody to help me get up the steps. Amen. But at least you're not trying to put your hope in me. The Pope's going to go off and leave them. All the rest of them have. Amen. Matter of fact, I'm going to go off and leave him probably. You'll catch that in a minute. Rapture. Amen. You tell him I said that if you want to, if you're that much of a friend to him. But I want to say to you this morning that I've been translated from the power of darkness and the kingdom of Satan into the presence of God. And he says again, in whom? That's Christ. In whom we have. Now, I'd hate to be like some of the folks I've met down there. I had. They have to read that verse, in whom we had. I did have salvation and I lost it. Now you're gonna, if you believe in losing salvation, you've lost, you're gonna have to read that verse different. In whom we had. It don't read that, does it? In whom we have. Have. If I give you something, you have it. Amen. If I take it back, you had it. But if I ain't never give it to you, you can't say I had it. And you can't say I had it. Right? So it says this morning, in whom we have, and I love this word, redemption. Redemption. What's redemption? The price has been paid. The price has been paid. Now, I love it. I love that. Let's just study. These little words just jump out and slap me all over. I don't know. I've got so hung up on words in the Bible. Matter of fact, that's what we ought to get hung up on, isn't it? Yeah. Amen. These politicians and all these, they'll try to balance their whole, and especially the news media, they try to balance their whole act on what somebody says, and they nitpick that little word. And one little word of the sentence that they say, they'll just twist it and warp it. Amen. And I look at the Word of God and I just take it for what it is. And it excites me. Amen. People don't try to twist. A lot of people do, but the majority don't try to twist the Word of God. They just try to ignore it. They don't pay no attention to it. The sinner don't care what the Word of God says. He don't want to know what the Word of God says. He won't argue with it if you give it to him. He just tries to ignore it. Now, there will be some that are sarcastic, and they'll go in that direction. But he said, in whom we have redemption. We have redemption. What's redemption? That means we've been bought back. If we've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness, and we have been translated from the kingdom of Satan, and we've been delivered out of the power that darkness had on us, then I want to say to you this morning, we have redemption. We've been redeemed from the power of sin. Amen? We've been delivered from the power of sin. And one of these days, we're going to be delivered from the presence of it. It's all around us now, but we're going where there's no sin. But he said, in whom we have redemption. And then he tells us how. And if you ain't got redemption this morning, or if you claim redemption and it ain't been this way, you don't have it. In whom we have redemption through his, who's his? The Lord. His blood. Paul's talking to the Colossian believers and he's saying to you, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Paul is exalting Christ. I believe he's a key in the, amen, the remedy for America. Now people are looking for vaccines, but they need to be vaccinated from heaven. The great physician, they're looking for scholars and doctors and people who are scientists that can figure all this out. And you know, it's amazing to me. Every time I listen to them talking on the news about this virus, when they ask a question, I said, you're an idiot. They'll say, can you tell us how long this quarantine's going to be? Can you tell us how long this is going to last? Can you tell us how long that all this is going to, until this all is going to be over? Can anybody tell that? There's not but one that can. And I'll keep on listening, hoping that sometimes somebody's going to say, it's in God's hands and God knows. I keep listening. And I'm saying, and they'll answer back and say, well, we've never had this to happen. I appreciate what our president's doing. And that's about all he can say. But he said, this is something new to us. We can't tell you. And then they go off on him. Amen. But I want to tell you, nobody can tell you that, but God knows. And just trust him. Amen. Now they classify this as a war. Amen. A war of this disease. And I think, praise God, I'm in a war. And the Lord's always won every war I fought. Amen. It don't mean I don't come out with some scrapes and scars. I've been in some battles with the church people. I've been in battles with the devil. I've been in battles with the flesh. I've been in battles with the world. And I can stand here this morning and tell you about scars where they all have attacked me in certain times, in certain places. Thank God, not all at one time. Hallelujah. like they did Job.
Yeah.
But I want to say to you that I can give you some scars and some things that it done to me and hurt me and wounded me. But here I am. God has brought me through every bit of it.
Yeah.
On His appointed time. In whom we have redemption. I've been bought back. I'm glad I don't belong to the devil and his crowd.
Yeah.
I'm glad I don't belong to Satan. I'm glad I'm not all the powers of darkness. I'm glad I have been translated in the kingdom of his son. Into the kingdom of his son. Amen. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Now people don't like that. The devil don't like that. You start talking about the blood and you make the devil mad. You start talking about the blood and it'll make your family mad sometimes. Some of your family members. You start talking about the blood and it'll make church members mad. You start talking about the blood of Christ and it'll make religious people mad. Amen? Paul started preaching the gospel. And when he preached the gospel, he made folks mad. Let me see if I can find something come to my mind while I'm thinking on it this morning. The church started getting under some early persecution. And let's turn to Acts chapter 4. I've been preaching on this week and I thought I'd just mention this. Acts chapter 4, hold your place there in Colossians. In Acts chapter 4, that's just short ways from Acts 2, where the power of the church, where the church got the power. These fellows started preaching in chapter 2. Chapter 3, they started practicing. And chapter number 4, they started being persecuted. You see that now? You start standing up for God and I'll guarantee you the crowd won't like you. And if the world loves you, it's because you're blending in. A lot of times people say, how's the world treating you? Have you ever had that asked to you? And I always look at them, I said, well, the world don't treat me too good, but Jesus does. And the fact is, I don't want the world to treat me treat me good. If the world treats me good, it's because I've joined up with them. As long as I'm separate from them, they're not going to like me. So persecution started. I preached over this thought for years, but the other day I was sitting there at my table and I was talking about, matter of fact, I was studying on preaching on persecution, and I did. But in chapter 4, verse number 1, you'll find something. I want you to see this. I've never seen this in all the years of my preaching. Isn't it amazing how the Bible just opens up? It said, and as they spake unto the people. Now he's talking about the disciples. There's a comma there and it says, the priest. Now get that in your mind. The priest. Comma. And the captain of the temple. I don't know who that is, but somebody was over it. Comma. Third, and the Sadducees came upon them. Now everything is going good. 3,000 people have got saved on the day of Pentecost. A man has been touched who is lame, laid at the gates, and he's a walking and a leaping and a praising God. And everybody said, woo, there's something happening around here. It ain't never happened like that before. So, look at verse number 2. The Bible said, being grieved. Can you imagine somebody preaching and seeing people changed and their body healed and they get grieved? I didn't explain it to you. We got some in America today that with this virus going around, some of them hopes that it's going to get worse. Some of them actually are sitting back hoping that it's going to get out of control And that one of the, that it's going to get so bad that they'll be able to take the presidents of the president. And people will turn against him. So they're not looking for the good of the people or for the good of God. They're looking for their own help. That's what happened here. In verse 3 it said, or 2, it said, being grieved that they taught the people. I mean, they got upset because they was teaching the people and preached through who? Jesus. They were preaching Jesus. What's wrong with preaching Jesus in this day? Nothing. Isn't that who should be preached? Didn't want to preach religion, it won't help you. Don't want to preach people, it won't help you. And preach through Jesus, what? The resurrection from the dead. Now look here. Who started the persecution of the early church? This is the first. Who started it? Two groups of people. Number one, the priest. You know why the priest got upset? Because Jesus Christ has become the supreme sacrifice, and now it's taken their job away from them. There's no more sacrifices to be made. I've never seen this in my life. I'm a sitting there at the table, and I said, "Glory!" And them two women just looked around at me like, "Okay." And so in a few minutes, the Lord showed me something else. The priest and the captain of the temple. I don't know much about the captain of the temple. I meant to go back and study, but I didn't. I think I'll go home and do it. And the Sadducees came upon them. Now the Sadducees, who in the world were they? They were a religious sect or a religious group that denied the resurrection of anybody. They did not believe in a body being raised from the dead. That's one of their doctrines. They did not believe in the resurrection. Verse 2 said they got grieved in their heart and preached, because these people preached through Jesus the what? Resurrection from the dead. So as a religious group that wanted it in their favor, and it upset their religious teachings. Now, why do people get upset today? Because it changes their apple cart. I find in the Bible that many would not get saved when the disciples came around and when the Lord came around, because it would bother their activity and their way of making a living sometimes. God will put them out of the sinning business. And they didn't want to get out of the sinning business. Why'd they get upset when Paul and them cast the devils out of those who done divination and soothsaying and that sort of thing? Because the people were getting a monetary gain from them people. And they got upset. Persecution came. So the preaching, the gospel tells us today that he changes us from the power of darkness, translates us into the kingdom of his own son, and we have redemption, a buyback from the pits of hell. That's exactly what God's done. And that makes the devil mad. So persecution comes along. So I go back to Colossians, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Now, when you have redemption, if something goes along with redemption, comma, amen, even the forgiveness of his sins. Now, that word remission, it's found over in Hebrews. Remission and forgiveness are one and the same. You can't have forgiveness of sin without the blood of Christ. Remission is forgiveness of sin. There's a lot of people have claimed Christ, but they've never been forgiven through his blood. Now, forgiveness goes right along with redemption. If you ain't got redemption, you don't have forgiveness. You don't have forgiveness, you don't have redemption. Even though the price has been paid, you've been paid for. I didn't think I'd use this today. The other day, I hadn't been going out too much in the public to get anything, but somehow I got a hankering for a cup of coffee from McDonald's. I love their coffee. That's about the only thing I like about them. And they got drive-through, and I went up there, and my sister-in-law likes the same kind, and I went up there and got in line, looked at them, and I think I told them this Wednesday night, and sitting there at the drive-through, and I ordered it, 2 cups, and drove on around and paid for it, went to the door, or went to the window to get it, and I thought, they'll hand me them 2, right? I done sat there a long time. Everybody else must have been ordering a full course meal. But when I got up there, the lady looked at me. Now, this is just coffee. She said, "I'm sorry, but we're going to have to make a fresh pot. Just pull right up there and park, and we'll bring it to you." Well, the door's shut. You can't get in. I pull up there and wait. One car comes around, another car comes around, another car comes around, another car comes around, another car comes around. And they're slow. And I'm sitting there 25 minutes, heading on toward 30 minutes. I said, "Somebody else has done drunk that coffee." Can't go in and tell them. And I ain't taking another 45 minutes to get back up to the window to tell them I didn't get my coffee. So I went on to the house. Now let me just tell you this. I paid for that coffee. But I ain't drunk it yet. And Christ has done paid for many people's salvation, but they have not cashed in on it. They ain't got it because they have not repented. I didn't think that'd make, I didn't think that, but that's a good illustration. I praise God for it. But see, even the forgiveness of sin. Now look at this, and we're going to close in just a minute. The Bible said in verse 15, we're not going to get all this done. He said, "Who?" Now who's he talking about? Jesus. Still the same. Who is the image of the invisible God? The Bible said, "Thou shalt make any graven image." God said we're not to have any other image before God, right? But God said, if you want to know what I look like and who I am, you look at the image of my Son. Now, you know what an image is? It's not the real thing, in a sense. Hear me now. But sometimes they make a statue. And they say that's an image of so-and-so. They've got some pretty good image. I've seen images of Abraham Lincoln, George Washington. Now I never did meet them guys. I didn't have the privilege. But they made statues of them or images of them. And I assume by the other pictures I've seen that they're pretty close and look like to them. Now God didn't have an image made out of brass or made out of stone. But God said, "Who is the image of the invisible God?" Now how in the world can you have an image of an invisible God? So it's an invisible image. You hear me? And God don't want us making images of anybody or anything and worship images. But God's saying, He's the image. In other words, you want to see me, look at Him. And the only way you can look at Him, you can't put a color of an eye. You can't put facial expressions on, but you can see Him from the Word of God, what He really is. And if you want to know what God is, find out who Jesus is. They're one and the same. I hope I don't confuse you, but He's the image of the invisible God. Amen. Invisible God. I want to go down and look at something else on this. Jump down at it because I'm fixing to quit and I ain't going to get there if I don't go down and get it. Verse 16, for by him were all things. Who's that him again? Who is it?
Jesus.
Who?
Jesus.
All right. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth. And I like these next two words, visible and invisible. What you see and what you don't see. He made it. You said, what do you mean them things you don't see? They said, well, I don't see the wind. I see its results. There's a lot of things I don't see. And I can name you a list of them this morning. And you can go back and study history. You can study biology. You can study science. And there's a lot of things that are made that you don't even... I don't see my breath I'm breathing. But I know it's there. That's invisible. But it's working. You with me? Both visible and invisible. He's made it all. He's the image of God. And then he says the firstborn of every creature. That firstborn means he rose from the dead. And the only one that's ever raised on his own power. Been a lot of resurrections in the Bible. But God performed them. Amen. But there's only one that got up on her own power. And that's Jesus on the third day. See, the Bible said in, we'll find it again. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. You see that? He's the firstborn. I want to magnify my Savior. I'm a nothing. He's my everything. In him I live and move and have my being. Without him, I could not live and move and have my being. With him, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Without him, I can do nothing. With him, I'm going to heaven when this life's over. Without him, I could not go anywhere but to hell. He's my everything. Praise be unto God for Jesus. Heads bowed. Thank you for coming to the house of the Lord.